Take your Bible and turn to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter number 12. It was yesterday, Saturday, October 7th, approximately around 6 a.m. The Hamas military rulers of the Gaza Strip, as you know, launched a surprise and unprecedented attack on Israel. And the Hamas is a Palestinian Sunni Islamic fundamentalist and nationalist organization. They fired thousands of missiles of rockets as dozens of fighters infiltrated the heavily fortified border in several locations. 3,000 plus rockets launched toward Israel out of nowhere. 20 plus communities in southern Israel invaded by Hamas, the terroristic operatives. They broke into homes and massacred civilians. They rampaged through the area. Israeli civilians and soldiers have literally been abducted within Israel and taken hostage back over to Gaza. There's been over 200 casualties, and that's probably still climbing, and over 1,000 people that were injured. I mean, this is a massive, massive thing that's happened. And as I was looking up the videos, I kept hearing the phrase Allah Akbar. And I don't know if you know what that means, but that is a phrase used by Muslims in prayers. And it's a general declaration of faith and thanksgiving. And it means Allah is great. God is great. And this is what they're doing in the name of their false god Allah. And by the way, Allah is a demon. It is not Yahweh. It is not another name for Yahweh. It is not any other form of Yahweh. There's only one true living God. He's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And any other God is literally set up by demons. And this is the result of false religion. That's what you're looking at. You know, I didn't really fully inform myself until late last night. I was having a little bit of a family day, a rest day. But as I reflected on it last night, and I thought about it, I was very, very saddened by the fact that many families were torn apart. And many families didn't get to have what I had just had, a family day. And kids were torn apart. Kids were taken. People were killed. I was extremely saddened and just disturbed. And I thought about the blessings that I have been in America. I know it's bad. I know we're under judgment. I just did a sermon on the judgment of America. But we are so well protected, even in a country like this. And I thought about how blessed I was just to be born here. August 12th, 1987, I came charging into the world. And somebody somewhere else was born that same day under a different regime. And I was born here. And I can't tell you why, other than the sheer grace of a good God. And that's your story too. Whatever your birthday was, you've been blessed. Whether you're a Christian or not, God has blessed you. And I thought about family, and it's a gift. And I've not only been saved from temporal things such as that, but I've been saved from my sins. I've been given faith to believe the gospel. And a lot of people don't have the faith to believe the gospel. And I've been given that. I've been given so many blessings. But how should we review this situation with Israel? Well, just a biblical perspective on it. One of the greatest apologetics of the Bible is the nation of Israel. There's no other nation that existed that long ago that's still here. You might have heard of a Jebusite, a Hivite, a Perizzite, but you've never heard of those are all gone. You don't see anymore, but you do see Israelites. They're still around. They're providentially protected. It doesn't mean that they're saved. It doesn't mean that they're going to be saved. It means that they're protected as a nation, as a people group. That's an amazing fact. And since the Assyrian and Babylonian captivities, Israel has been under divine judgment in an era that's known as the times of the Gentiles. That's the era we find ourselves in now. And it continued as they rejected their Messiah, Jesus Christ. In Matthew 23:38, Jesus said, "Your house is now left to you desolate." So the nation will still exist, but they are under divine judgment. Jesus said in Luke 21, "There will be great distress and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword, and they will be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." We're in that era right now. That's what you're looking at. The times of the Gentiles trampling underfoot Jerusalem. And it's the era that began with the captivity that will last all the way to Israel's restoration in the millennial kingdom when Jesus returns. The return of Jesus will stop the times of the Gentiles. And until then, Israel will be under threat and Israel will be dominated by other nations. And people hate that nation of Israel. Moses even mentioned this a long time before, back in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Listen to what Moses said. "The Lord will scatter you among all peoples, from one end of the earth to the other. And there you shall serve other gods of wood and stone, which neither you or your fathers have known. And among these nations you shall find no respite, and there shall be no resting place for the sole of your foot. But the Lord will give you there a trembling heart and failing eyes and a languishing soul. Your life will hang in doubt before you night and day. You shall be in dread and have no assurance of your life." This was prophesied a long time ago. "In the morning you will say, 'If only it were evening.' And at evening you shall say, 'If only it were morning,' because of the dread that your heart shall feel and the sights that your eyes shall see. And the Lord will bring you back in ships to Egypt, a journey that I promise that you shall never make again. And there you shall offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but there will be no buyer." The judgment of this nation of Israel. Now, this is not the end of the world, so don't go get your pajamas on and sit on your roof and wait for the rapture. But it is a sign of the last days. Jesus told us this in Matthew 24, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, because this must take place. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of birth pains." The world is forming an increasing animosity and hatred against Israel. But it's not always going to be that way. Look in Zechariah chapter 12. And you'll see this phrase mentioned approximately 16 times. And it's the phrase known as the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is coming. Right now is a day when man has his time on the earth. Satan has his time on the earth. But there's coming a day when the Lord will intervene with worldwide judgment. Christ returns as judge. And look at this in this first attack by the nations in verse 12. "The oracle of the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Thus declares the Lord, who stretched out the heavens and found the earth and formed the spirit of man within him. Behold, I am about to make Jerusalem a cup of staggering to all the surrounding peoples. The siege of Jerusalem will also be against Judah. On that day, I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will surely hurt themselves, and the nations of the earth will gather against it." What you're seeing here is the Lord is bringing about the judgment in the final days of Israel. Until this happens, there will be glimpses of this. That's what you're seeing now. It's a glimpse of this. But that's not what's going on here, because what's going on here is a gathering of all the nations, north, south, east, and west, against Israel. This is the real last end times when this occurs. What you're seeing now is a pre-fulfillment of this. And I want you to notice that the Lord is going to make Jerusalem a cup of staggering to the surrounding peoples. And that means they're going to literally be intoxicated as they try to attack Israel. They're going to be drunk in a drunken stupor when this happens at the end. And he's going to make Jerusalem a heavy stone, and all who lift it will hurt themselves. people are going to try to take over Israel in the last days. And it's not just going to be one group to the left. It's going to be nations north, south, east, and west when this happens. And Israel is literally going to be a heavy stone. I work out, and I was in the gym working out in Iraq one time. And when I was over there, or Iraq, as Corey has taught me to say. But I was over there working out during one of my tours. And I remember this guy grabbed these dumbbells, and he said, "Oh, I got this." And they were really too heavy for the guy. Okay. But he grabbed them, and he rocks them back, and it literally hits his face and knocks him out because he thought he could lift it. And we had to get that old boy out of there and take care of him. But that's kind of like what's going to happen here. The nations are going to pick up a weight they think they can lift, and it's going to smash them in the face and hurt themselves.
Yep.
The nations are going to be hurt when they try to do this. Because verse 4, "On that day, declares the Lord, I will strike every horse with panic and its rider with madness. But for the sake of the house of Judah, I will keep my eyes open." I'm going to cause the nations that are attacking Israel to literally be struck with madness, but I'm going to be watching out for Judah when I strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. "Then the clans of Judah will say to themselves, 'The inhabitants of Jerusalem have strength through the Lord of hosts, their God.' On that day, I will make the clans of Judah like a blazing pot in the midst of wood, like a flaming torch among sheaves. And they will devour to the right and to the left all the surrounding peoples." When you try to attack Israel on this day, it's a bad day for you.
That's right.
"While Jerusalem will again be inhabited in its places in Jerusalem. And the Lord will give salvation to the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem may not surpass that of Judah. On that day, the Lord will protect the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the feeblest among them on that day will be like David. And the house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord going before them. On that day, I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem." Now, go over to chapter 14 and look at what the Lord says again. He repeats it in a different way. Verse 1, "Behold, a day is coming for the Lord when the spoil taken from you will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem." Who's gathering the nations to come in battle? The Lord. God. "The city shall be taken, the houses plundered, the women raped. Half of the city will go out into exile, but the rest of the people shall not be cut off from the city." There's going to be a minor degree of success for the nations that come on this day. And the Bible and elsewhere talks about there's many more nations, north, south, east, and west, that come on this great day. There's going to be a small degree of success, but the Lord is going to stop this attack. Look in verse 4, or look in verse 3. "The Lord will go out and fight against those nations when He fights on a day of battle." This is Yahweh. And verse 4, "On that day His feet shall stand on the mountain," or the Mount of Olives, "that lies before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west by a very wide valley, so that one half of the mountain shall move northward and the other half southward." God comes out of heaven, and He literally comes and stands on the Mount of Olives, and the mountain splits in half. This is the second coming of Jesus. This is Jesus coming back again to protect Israel. Jesus will come in flaming, fiery judgment. Revelation 19. And as He comes, He will fight for Israel, and He will literally conquer their enemies. But not only will He conquer their enemies, listen, He will conquer their hearts. Go back with me to Zechariah 12 and verse 10. "And I will pour out on the house of David." Now this is right after the nations come to attack. "I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem," that's Israel, "a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that when they look on Me, on Him whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for Him." Who is the one that they pierced? That's Jesus.
Amen.
They pierced. This is before Jesus ever even shows up. And it said at the second coming, the one that they pierced will come. That's the one in chapter 14 that comes to fight. And as he comes and stands on that mountain, Israel will see him and look upon the one that they killed, that they murdered, that they pierced. And when they look upon him, something's going to happen. Ezekiel 36, they'll be given a new heart.
Amen.
Isaiah 53, they will confess Jesus as Lord. Same thing that's happened to you if you've been saved.
Amen.
You've been given a new heart. You have confessed Jesus as Lord. But you're also going to be really sorry for your sin, right? If you've been saved, you have been given a sorrow for sin. And that's why that this great victory doesn't result in rejoicing. This victory results in mourning. In verse 10, they will mourn for him and weep bitterly, and the mourning will be great in Jerusalem. Because they're going to look upon the one that they pierced. They're going to confess Isaiah 53. He died for our sins. He was sacrificed for us, and they're going to be saved. Israel will become Christian. And the fulfillment of a kingdom on earth will be set up. The post-millennial group of reformed guys, that is a joke. The idea that the kingdom will come now by us, apart from Jesus, is a joke. Things are not going to get better and better and better. They are getting worse and worse and worse until Jesus comes again.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
And to deny this is to completely undermine all of the prophets. And to spiritualize the entire Old Testament. That's a joke. That is not how the end is going to be. It's not getting better in the world.
Right.
It's getting worse in the world.
Yes.
Until these nations come and attack Jerusalem. And when they do, Jesus comes back. And they look upon the one they have pierced. And then they're saved. Verse number 2 of chapter 13, it says that I will cut off the idols from the land. That's what happened in my life. When I got saved, idols were cut out of my life. And I became a worshiper of the one true living God. If you're living in sin, if you have idols, you're not a Christian. Because when you're made a Christian, you are regenerated. And you mourn over sin. You don't celebrate it.
Amen.
You don't live in it.
That's right.
You repent. You profess Christ as Lord. You're changed. And this is the last day. If you go back and read, we won't look at it, but Zechariah 14 talks about, right after this happens, the kingdom on the earth.
Amen.
As Jesus Himself sets it up. And you literally will see the state and the church joined by Jesus.
Amen.
Now, we shouldn't do that until He comes. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Don't try to do that until He does it. Because He's the only one that can do it.
Amen.
And when He does, all the world will know. And they will see. But until this happens, you're seeing the times of the Gentiles, Israel being trampled down. Because they're under divine judgment. And my heart was breaking for so many of them. One of the generals said, as he was talking about what they're doing, they're going to overcome this. They're going to fight. And I think they should. You should defend yourself. There is a just war. You should go to war to defend yourself and your family. Amen?
Amen?
I better hear some men say amen to that. You better defend yourself and your family. But I'm hearing them say, we will defend ourselves. The Lord will come and defend them. They haven't been humbled yet. They haven't been brought to the end of themselves yet. This is not the end yet. There will come a time when more nations come. And you'll see it. And when it happens, the Lord Jesus Himself will return. And He will stop the times of the Gentiles. And until then, you're going to see more things like this happen. You should be blessed and feel blessed that you've been born in America. You should be thankful. You should be even more thankful that you were born again in Christ.
Amen.
While being born in America may have saved you from many violent national judgments, it will not save you from the ultimate judgment of God on the sins of mankind. Israel is under the judgment of God and will be hated by the nations until they finally demonstrate repentance and faith when they see the one that they pierced. And they're humbled with no resource but God. Jesus, the true Messiah, will return and He will bring an end of the times of the Gentiles and fulfill salvation to ethnic Israel. In the meantime, death is inevitable for you and it could happen at any time. It did for those people. Are you ready to die? Are you ready for death? The fear of death is abolished by faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, thank You for the day You've given us. Lord, I know that You're sovereign and in control. I lean on that truth. I need that truth. You've brought the nations to attack Israel. You're the one who brought Nebuchadnezzar in. You're the one who converted Nebuchadnezzar. You're the one who brought Israel out of judgment, back into judgment. You're the one that sends the Lord Jesus Christ. You're in control of all of it. You've declared the end from the beginning. But Lord, while that's still true, my heart breaks for these people over there. My heart breaks for people that are under attack from a false religious group that has a demon for a god. Lord, this is destructive and evil and wicked. And Lord, I pray for that people. I pray for Israel. They're not Christians. But Lord, I pray that some of them would become Christians before they die. I pray that some of them would come to faith. But I'm burdened by them and their families torn apart. Thank You, Lord, for not letting that happen to me. Thank You for protecting me here. Help us, Lord, to not take for granted the blessings that have come to us through America. But Lord, we know it's all in Your hands. And the world's attention will be shifted to the east and away from the west. Lord, help us to be ready. Help us to be armed with the gospel. Help us to be armed with the knowledge that You are absolutely sovereign and in control. And Lord, I pray for that people that they would look upon the one they pierced beforehand. Amen. Some of them would look back at their scriptures and see what's written in their own Bible. The coming of the Messiah to die for their sins. Lord, I know Isaiah 53 has melted many a heart of many of Israelite. I pray it would do it again. Lord, I pray for that people and protection, Lord, as they in this manner have been great evil committed against them. Lord, thank You for our blessings. Help us not to take them for granted. In Jesus' name, amen.